Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, one of our longtime friends here on the show and a longtime friend of mine and one of my heroes. I don't have many heroes, but the ones that I have are awesome and are doing great work for the kingdom. And so last Friday, which I mentioned to you, this was kind of breaking news, where only, it's just as in true Troy Newman fashion, when the verdict came out, Planned Parenthood versus the heroes that were fighting for life and to expose the atrocities of this deeply satanic, deeply evil organization known as Planned Parenthood, then Troy sent me this text, "Racketeers for Life, baby." And that's the attitude. I mentioned this on Friday. That's the attitude we have to have. Man, count it all joy when you suffer. And for us to be able to face trials and temptations and for us to face persecution and attacks, because we stand for the things of God, because we stand for Jesus Christ, because we stand for life, you should count that as a badge of honor. And that's exactly what it is. And so like this is typical San Francisco Chronicle, where they were all excited about it. And Planned Parenthood came out, the acting president right now said this: David DeLayden of the Center for Medical Progress intentionally waged a multi-year legal effort to manufacture a malicious campaign against Planned Parenthood. Alexis McGill Johnston, the organization's acting president, said in a statement, "The jury recognized today that those behind the campaign broke the law in order to advance their goals of banning safe legal abortion in this country." What a twisted, sick worldview, and somebody that can help us understand that and set the record straight is our good friend Troy Newman from Operation Rescue. How are you, my racketeering friend?
I'm doing fabulous, man. I really am. And the prayers of so many people lifted us up throughout the last 7 weeks. And I feel, you know, the late Dr. Walter Martin, you may have read his book, Kingdom of the Cults, he said one time, if you ever put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?
Yeah.
And so we were put on trial for being pro-life, and guess what? There was enough evidence to convict us, so praise Jesus.
Yeah, that's an awesome way of looking at it. That's the biblical way of looking at it. So tell us about this whole trial and how this all got started. Kind of give us the background.
Josh, 7 week trial. I think that part of my penance was spending 7 weeks in purgatory, somewhere between heaven and hell, a place called San Francisco in a courtroom there. It was the city truly is deplorable in all the ways that we've been hearing on the news. I lived there for 7 weeks. But yeah, the background story is about 7 years ago, David Glide and I got together and we devised a little plan to infiltrate Planned Parenthood and National Abortion Federation conferences and to hear what these abortionists were talking about, put them on tape. And they talked a lot about how they sold baby body parts, how babies were born alive. They would get X number of dollars for liver, lungs, heart, thymus, brains, etc. And the videos were ultimately produced under the name Center for Medical Progress and released starting on July 14th, 2015. And you might remember back to that day, and we had one released about every other week or every week for 10 to 12 weeks. National Abortion Federation, which is essentially a union, a trade organization for abortionists, and Planned Parenthood Federation of America, sued us in two separate lawsuits. We were brought to trial in the Planned Parenthood lawsuit starting October 1st, and we spent 7 weeks in trial where we were convicted of fraud, which means we violated their non-disclosure agreement. The trespass, which we actually paid $3,000 per event to go to these trade shows. So they convicted us of trespass somehow. We didn't get our money back, but I guess we trespassed. And then, of course, racketeering. So I'm a racketeer along with Al Capone. I guess you could call me Don Troy or
Courtney. Yeah, I like that.
Or the Godfather or something. Yeah, we have to think of something good. So, yeah, all that. Racketeering, trespass, fraud, unfair business practices were my favorite one. And all adds up to several million dollars in judgment. We'll find out more next week, the total. But
yeah,
essentially, the bottom line was this. I was convicted for displaying videos, for producing videos of abortionists talking about how they sell baby body parts, but the jury never saw the video.
Yeah, so they had absolutely no context for the work that you guys were doing.
No, it was all about the way we infiltrated Planned Parenthood, like many other journalists have done, the time-proven, time-honored tradition to infiltrate organizations, whether it's PETA or animal slaughter farm or wherever. Journalism, James O'Keefe of Project Veritas does this on a regular basis. But we went after the kingpin, the linchpin of the demonic cult in America, and that's Planned Parenthood, and that's why we suffered the consequences.
Yeah, and that's what's different about this versus something like Project Veritas is I agree with you. I think Planned Parenthood is the most evil organization in America, and its birth goes back to the eugenics movement and Margaret Sanger and the American Eugenics Society, and deeply racist as well, as 35-36% of all abortions are African Americans, who only make up about 12 or 13% of the population. I say this, and I speak plainly on the issue, as you know, and you do as well. I think I learned it from you, that you've got across the country, you have black women and men hiring white doctors to kill their black babies, and nobody says anything about it. And when you go up against Planned Parenthood, you're going to get a fight. But the precedent here is dangerous, because now we're looking at going after investigative journalism, which should be a protection under the First Amendment.
So there was one amicus brief. We went up to the Supreme Court a couple of years ago on this issue, and we had an amicus brief, which is a friend of the court brief at the Supreme Court, from ABC News, which wanted to side with Planned Parenthood, but did put some positive language in here that you need to temper this down and make it content specific, because they don't want to get hung on their own hangman's noose here. So certainly there's a far-reaching implication. First Amendment is a huge one. Expression of one's religion and beliefs. One thing that the jury specifically disliked about me was that I am a tried and true opponent of abortion from the moment of conception till natural death. I don't mince any words. Yeah. They quoted places from various books and articles that I've written, that I believe that Planned Parenthood is a demonic force in America working with demons and the devil to kill innocent children, and nothing could be more evil.
That's exactly right. I'm going to put you on hold. Yeah, we're up against a break. I'm going to put you on hold, Troy. We're talking to Troy Newman, the president of Operation Rescue. OperationRescue.org. If your blood is boiling, do something about that and go to OperationRescue.org today and make a donation. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Glad to be with you on Friday. Had some breaking news out of San Francisco. Federal court there, and Troy Newman and David DeLeiden and all those involved with the Center for Medical Progress doing that heroic effort to expose the nightmarish, just almost beyond belief. It's, although these days in America and around the world, it's kind of hard to find that line anymore. But the practice of Planned Parenthood selling baby body parts for profit, and the way they acted, and hey, I'm going to take the money and buy a Lamborghini. It was sick. You remember a few years ago as these videos came out, and we talked about it regularly here on the show, and Troy Newman of Operation Rescue was kind enough to join us then, and he's kind enough to join us today. OperationRescue.org is the website. Troy, thanks for being with us today, as always. But I wanted to ask you about the judge's role in this whole thing, because he seemed to be so bent and so biased, it was ridiculous.
You know, on advice of counsel, I probably shouldn't say too much about the judge.
All right, I understand.
He was appointed by Obama to the federal bench. He was an Obama bundler. We have a picture of his wife right after these videos were released with the sign that said, "I stand with Planned Parenthood." So you can see, you know, if he has a bias, it certainly would come out. And from my perspective, sitting in the courtroom there for several weeks, I think he simply could not rule in our favor on any motion for any reason whatsoever. And that's why he blocked why he blocked the jury from seeing any of these videos that showed Planned Parenthood discussing the sale of human body parts.
Now, I read an article online somewhere last week that, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you never know. You always got to check these things out. Because, you know, I don't know if you figured this out yet, Troy, but you can't believe everything you read on the internet. But
I'm learning that.
There was a story that the judge actually told the jury, all right, just so you know, I'm going to find them guilty on these particular charges here. And I was reading that just going,
yeah,
what? That actually happened.
Yeah, so what the judge did is call a directed verdict. Before the jury was sent back to deliberate, he said, listen, I've already found these people guilty of trespass. Like I said, we paid our fees as the Biomax, this false or front organization that was there to procure tissue or fetal tissue, paid $3,000 a pop. So a total of about $16,000 was paid from us to Planned Parenthood and NAF to go to these events. But the judge said they trespassed. Nothing was damaged. There was no testimony. Anything was damaged. Anything was hurt or anything else. And the other thing was there was a directed verdict on was fraud, because the undercover investigators went to these places, to these trade shows, these abortionist trade shows, and signed a non-disclosure agreement. And so if anything, this whole case was simply about, you know, a breach of contract case. But instead it was fraud, RICO, trespass, unfair business practices, wiretapping, mail fraud, and all this other stuff.
Now, what about the fact that journalists have been doing this for years, these undercover sting operations, and they go undercover and they get the story and then they print it in the newspaper back in the day and online or on television? What about that?
So that's what's in jeopardy this moving forward, and that's why we have good hope that on appeal the appellate courts, perhaps even the Supreme Court, will see things differently. But interestingly enough, Planned Parenthood may have won this battle, but I think we won the war. I may have, you know, a multi-million-dollar judgment against my head, praise Jesus. But here's the victory for our side. Remember back 4 years ago when these videos first dropped, Planned Parenthood said, A, we don't sell baby body parts, and B, the videos are deceptively edited, they're manipulated, they're dubbed. These abortionists, it's not their words. Well, what was stipulated in this trial is, number one, that there was no defamation or libel against Planned Parenthood's name for saying that they sell baby body parts. They stipulated the fact that they do, in fact, sell baby
they do.
Body parts.
Right.
And number two, that the videos are accurate. The videos are an accurate representation of the abortionist speaking there. So it's absolutely true. Now, so what do you have left? You have hurt feelings on behalf of Planned Parenthood, the National Abortion Federation, that they got caught saying the things they said that were true. That's why this trial was not about abortion. It was not about selling baby body parts. The judge made it solely about the tactics that we use to infiltrate Planned Parenthood. And for that, we were being punished.
Now, I don't want to make any assumptions, because people might be unaware of the federal laws about the selling of baby body parts as a result of abortion. So what's the deal with that? Just remind everybody.
So they copped to the fact that they broke the law. Now, there is an FBI investigation going on, if we are to believe news reports and the Senate Judiciary Committee asking for a report. So this has been going on for 4 years. But it is illegal to sell any human body parts for a profit. You can donate them. In other words, you can donate your organs when you pass or something like that, but you can't sell them. I can't go onto Craigslist and sell one of my kidneys because it would create an adverse incentive for people to do these things. And so Planned Parenthood could simply donate this tissue. They call it a tissue donation program, but in fact, the evidence came out in trial that they were actually asking for and getting more money than what it costs to dissect these babies and ship their body parts off, like $700 for a liver, a fetal liver, whose testimony in court, Planned Parenthood was selling livers for $700.
Yeah, I mean, I remember going through this as each video released, and we talked about it on the air, and I would often play the audio from those videos, and people were just shocked and shaking their heads, couldn't believe what they were seeing, couldn't believe what they were hearing, and then really just how casual all the abortion workers were and the people procuring and trying to buy and sell baby parts.
Sure.
It was shocking how casual it was.
How numb they are to this.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you think back to say, and I know nobody likes these analogies, but just say the Nazis, the way they would casually murder millions and millions of people, and to the point where they had to create new technology to get rid of the body. And so they're very callous to this. In the same way, Planned Parenthood has been killing millions of children. They look at the baby, the unborn child, as simply another commodity to be chopped up and sold to add to their bottom line, to just increase their profit margin. And Mary Gatter, the Lamborghini abortionist, was on the stand. So was Deborah Nucatola.
Wow.
And both of them were asked about the words that they used in these videos. And neither one of them would recant one word or feel bad about what they said. The only thing they regret is that the public found out about it. Why?
Yeah.
Was the question. Why? Well, because the public doesn't understand what we do, and they get squeamish by it. You said your viewers were horrified? Absolutely. Which is the same reason why the judge blocked these videos from being shown to the jury. Imagine what the outcome would have been if they saw all the videos.
That's exactly right. Troy, can I keep you for one more segment?
Absolutely, buddy.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. We're talking to Troy Newman, the president of Operation Rescue. OperationRescue.org is the website. And like you heard Troy, and this fight is not over, but this could be a multi-million dollar settlement against him and against David Dalyden and those heroes, really, obviously, that went to war to get the truth out about Planned Parenthood. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back.
If you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away from Jesus.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Yeah. If you don't want any opposition from the devil, the forces of darkness, then stay away from Jesus. You don't want to get on his team because now when you get on his team, you get saved, you get born again, you're brought into the kingdom, you're adopted into God's family. If you never go after the forces of darkness, either in something like we're talking about today and engaging the fight for life, if you never share the gospel, if you're not trying to disciple anybody, if nobody in your circle of friends or coworkers or neighbors knows you're a Christian, you don't really need to worry about Satan because he doesn't need to worry about you. But you stick your head up above that wall. You stick your head up out of the bunker, and you start to engage the forces of darkness, and you're going to get it. You're going to get some pushback. You're going to get some persecution, and you should count all that as a joy. All that's a privilege because it means you're in Christ, and he suffered for us. So how do we not joyfully suffer for him? And that's just the deal. So if you never face any persecution for your faith, I would just simply say with all in as loving a way as I can, you're not doing it right. If you don't get any pushback from anywhere at any time, maybe it's because you're a little too camouflaged. We're talking to Troy Newman, Operation Rescue, OperationRescue.org, about this big case out of San Francisco last week, which was a loss for our side last week, Troy. But ultimately, what's next? And tell me a little bit about the groups that defended you guys.
Sure. And let me add a little bit to your opening monologue there that, you know, God's grace is sufficient for us. So don't think of, I'm sitting over here suffering, oh, just agonizing in pain. Literally, when you stand out, stand up, speak up for the Lord, and you do suffer persecution. I found it in my own life, and I've been sued before. I've been thrown in jail. I got kicked out of Australia. I've been sued by the IRS, all this other stuff. Friends defriending me, like not just on Facebook, but like for real. But it's okay. God really gives you this supernatural peace.
Yeah. Amen.
When that happens. So let me test and give you an amen and a hallelujah to what you said. Now, what's next? Appeal. And I can't say enough about my friend Jay Sekulo.
Amen.
Also the president's attorney. The American Center for Law and Justice has literally spent millions of dollars defending me. And I had five attorneys sitting right beside me for 7 weeks, Steve.
Wow.
Just the best attorneys in the country, the best motions, et cetera. We preserved all of our objections. I think we had several standing objections. Every day we read that we have a standing objection for this, a standing objection for that. So all this will go through the appellate court system, and maybe God wants to see this shown on a bigger scale. Maybe we go to the Supreme Court one of these days and it becomes headline news, something, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I know I feel good about the way we defended ourselves. I feel good and unrepentant about what we did to expose Planned Parenthood. And even though it's caused turmoil and pain and disruption in my life and 7 years of purgatory in San Francisco, I'd do it all over again.
Amen.
I really would.
Well, I think that's such a great point, and I'm glad you brought that to bear after my opening comments, because that's the biblical way. We sit there and go, okay, if you suffer persecution and the world comes after you and Planned Parenthood comes after you, that's this interesting tension of the Christian life, is in the midst of that darkness, man, and those attacks, you have the joy of the Lord. And it's not like you're just you're crumpled down in this little puddle at the foot of the cross and this is the way, you're just lamenting. Yes. Of course, those days happen, but generally, you got the joy of the Lord with you, man. And this stuff, as difficult as it can be, we know that it's all going to work itself out to an eternal weight of glory. And this stuff won't even be a distant memory once we get there. You'll get rewarded for it. And amen. And amen. And amen.
Let me encourage people. You know, we don't want to put our hand in the fire, because putting our hand in the fire hurts. We're risk adverse, and I think sometimes Christians are so risk adverse, we don't do anything that could cause pain. But let me encourage you, run towards some adversity. And I don't mean just go speeding down the road at 100 miles an hour and you get persecuted. That speeding ticket is not persecution. That's called justice. But if you're doing something for the Lord and you actually get persecuted for it, run toward that adversity, because you know what? Those sorts of things in your life build character, build strength, build faith, and ultimately you will persevere through that and become, on the other side, a better person, a better Christian, with all of God's grace and joy intact.
Absolutely. What a great word. And as you look at the future here, it's very interesting, because the next step, obviously, in an appeal, you're going to end up at the Ninth Circuit Court, which for years we've been just write it off. But because of Donald Trump and his judicial appointments, the Ninth Circuit Court is becoming more conservative all the time. We don't have a majority yet, but we're pushing towards that.
Oh, Trump 2020, baby. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for President Trump being elected, I probably would be sitting in federal prison, because Hillary and her minions from hell would have prosecuted us already. And you're right about the Ninth Circuit. In fact, the defunding of Planned Parenthood on the Title X rule, believe it or not, came from the Ninth Circuit. And I see some of these liberal pundits on the left saying, we've lost the Ninth Circuit. This is horrible. Trump has appointed about 25% of that circuit, so it's very possible that we get some good judges there and some good precedents. But, you know, by the way, I still have one more trial coming up. I mentioned two lawsuits. So first was the Planned Parenthood Federation of America versus Center for Medical Progress, David, myself, and others. The next one is the National Abortion Federation. So there might be round two. We might have to redo this all over again.
Yeah, man. Well, it's worth it. Of course it's worth it.
The process is the punishment.
Yeah, yeah, I do. Well, yeah, amen. I hear that. So let's pull back up to 30,000 feet here for our last couple minutes today, Troy. And again, I appreciate you calling in as always. What about the state of the fight for life in America in general? Circa, we're almost at the end of 2019. How do you think things are going right now? We're at historic lows in terms of abortions per thousand, and we've seen great things happening around the country. What's your read on all of it after three decades in the fight?
So, I would say if you're looking at the long-term view, things are certainly looking up. We have good legislation that's going through the pipelines. The ultimate test of whether or not we're winning is the number of children murdered gone down significantly, almost cut in half from the high water mark in 1991.
Yeah.
70% of all the nation's abortion mills have closed down for good. But there's this other little part of me that's horrified that we continually kill a million children every single year, that sometimes the pro-life movement looks more like a party atmosphere than a mourning atmosphere. In other words, there's galas and parties and banquets. And I get that. I mean, we have to fundraise and so forth. The March for Life, I get that. But I feel on January 22nd, which is the memorial of Roe versus Wade, not the anniversary, it's a memorial, I feel like crawling into a hole and crying, putting sackcloth and ashes on, more than going to a gala or a fundraiser or a banquet. And so we need to have the heart of God and hate the things that God hates, cry over the things that God cries over, And one thing he says, I think it's Psalm 106, Psalm 109, he says that bloodshed, innocent bloodshed, pollutes a land. So the biggest thing that pollutes our country is not a nuclear disaster or a fire or an oil spill, but it's the shedding of innocent blood,
and
that's the thing that God hates and mourns, and we got to get right with him over that.
That's exactly right. And again, I challenge people all the time. You know this, and you've been at it a lot longer than I have. I don't know a single convictional Christian that doesn't say they're pro-life. But whenever I hear that, I always hear James somewhere out in the background saying, hey, you show me your faith by what you say, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. So for every Christian out there that calls themselves pro-life and is listening to us right now, Troy, give them their marching orders. What should we be doing if we say we're pro-life? How should we be actually putting that into action?
Okay, number one, you have to speak up for those who have no voice. Everywhere you go, do not be afraid, whether you're in a post office, a grocery store, or Thanksgiving's coming up, and say, hey, doggone it, these babies have no voice. I'm going to be their voice. It's murder. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood, and speak up for them. Number two, take action. Do something. The minimum, vote pro-life. Study your candidates and vote pro-life. Make a concerted effort to donate to some of these pregnancy counseling centers and places that are dedicated. Do your homework, because not every pro-life organization is doing the Lord's work. A rising tide floats all boats. But do your investigation. Find a local pregnancy counseling center that helps these women. And then encourage your pastor, when he does finally speak up on behalf of life on January 22nd or somewhere around that time, saying encouraging things to him. Thank you. I know that maybe I had an abortion in my past, and it hurts to hear these things, but thank you for being God's servant. These are just some simple things that we can do, and moving forward toward not just building a culture of life, but here's what I'm saying. Eradicate, destroy the enemy's ability to wage war on the children. We need to tear down these places of Auschwitz and Dachau, these killing centers, brick by brick, and never let them return.
Amen. Troy Newman, the president of Operation Rescue, operationrescue.org, with those marching orders. If you want, right up the top of the list, someplace to support financially and with your prayers and anything else you can do, operationrescue.org, where Troy Newman serves as the president. I appreciate you and love you, brother. Thank you for inspiring us and for leading so well.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much. Keep sending those emails. I'll read them every morning.
I will. Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you later. God bless you. We'll talk to you. Okay, we'll be back. You're going to hear from somebody on the other side of the argument, somebody that volunteers an abortion clinic. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you as always. Excited to head off from here. If you're on Facebook Live, you're wondering, why are you wearing such a nice shirt? It looks like you're dressed up. And I'm never dressed up. Well, that's not true. I occasionally get dressed up. And tonight with our friends at the NC Values Coalition, just an outstanding Christian political engagement organization here in North Carolina, run by our friend Tammy Fitzgerald, who's been on the show many, many times. Tammy and I have known each other for probably 12 or 13 or 14 years even. So I'm emceeing. I get to serve as the MC tonight for that. And Abby Johnson is the featured speaker. I get to introduce her. So a great blessing there, and to be a part of NC Values Coalition. If you're here in North Carolina, you should definitely be tracking along, getting on their email list. And again, supporting them, not the least of which with prayer, but financially, if you feel led to do that, the NC Values Coalition is just outstanding. So I'm doing that tonight. But we were talking to Troy Newman, and this whole issue out of San Francisco, and that case they're going to appeal, and it'll go to the next level of the appellate court system, which will be the Ninth Circuit, which will be interesting. Saturday, we talked about this a lot, a couple times last week. Justin Reeder called in from Love Life here in North Carolina, and we had our week 40 celebration, which is the 40th and final week of the Saturdays, 40 Saturdays in a row, which equals gestation period. Came out, and there are literally thousands of Christians showing up at these four different cities, Charlotte, Greensboro, and Raleigh, North Carolina, and then New York City, literally thousands of Christians to come out and celebrate all that God has done this year. And this Saturday alone here in Raleigh, we had just shy of about 400 people out there. It was just incredible, powerful. And so when the saints come marching in, that's a presence. We all wear these teal-colored shirts. You've seen me wear that on the Facebook Live before. And so the question is, what do the other people think of us? The other people being the clinic workers, the clinic escorts that are volunteers and wearing their rainbow colored vests, obviously on purpose. But this Saturday, like I said, almost 400 people there. We saw four moms change their minds, four, call it saves, just to use general language. And there were 17 moms inside, most of whom were African American, but four, praise the Lord, changed their minds. And we got to see that while we were there, literally watching miracles happen there with Love Life and with all the other great. There's sidewalk counselors. There's the Happy Warriors from Upper Room Church, which is where Bishop Wooden was with us on Friday to talk about that incredible move by the Church of God in Christ, where they unanimously passed a resolution condemning abortion, calling it a Holocaust, especially true in the African-American community. But what does the other side think? We're, and this is where you hear Isaiah, what are those who call good evil and evil good? They are convinced that we are the darkness. We are the haters. We're the ones that are, we're dangerous. While children are inside being ripped apart and sucked into a glass jar, we're the dangerous ones. So what does that sound like? When you get into the mindset, that kind of mindset, Troy mentioned it earlier, people that are just kind of given over, Romans 1, they're clouded. They're being manipulated by Satan himself. What does that sound like? Well, this is from a Facebook Live video. This gal was as a clinic volunteer at Drake Circle here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm not going to say her name. I pulled this off of Facebook. It was up on her public page. She's just filming as it looked like there was probably 60, 70, maybe 80 Love Life people coming on the prayer walk up the hill to round the corner to go right in front of the abortion clinic right across the street. So this is what it sounds like. This is what they think. Listen, this is very important. And yes, this will probably make you mad, but it should also break your gospel heart, too. Okay? So check it out.
So my friends who know me know what I do every Saturday morning. And I guess I volunteer because these people come to screw with the people trying to access health care. It's unbelievable. So what do you see how many show up? All these people are coming
probably
to
70.
Harass and, you know, judge women who are trying to decide whether they want to parent or not. So this is how many people show up to harass women here in Raleigh.
So here's how we harass women out there outside of Drake Circle in Raleigh. With Love Life and the other happy warriors that are out there. Here's how we harass them. We pray for them. We sing to the Lord for them. We intervene. We hold up signs that say, we care about you. We're going to help you. Sidewalk counselors are there to offer help. Come talk to us. We'll help you with your baby. We'll help you with adoption. Do you need to find a job? Do you need money? How can we help you? That's how we harass women. That's what that looks like. But because we dare to take a stand, they see that as harassment and dangerous and hate-filled. Okay, so just keep listening.
It's pretty freaking sad. When we say things like vote as if your life depends upon it, please do, people.
So you vote for abortion as if your life depends on it, irrespective of the fact that they're supporting something that murders upwards of 1 million babies per year. See how this is what it sounds like, Romans chapter 1, to be given over. Keep listening.
These are the people, who think that women shouldn't have choice. All these people. Crazy, isn't it? Stunning. Some people even bring their kids with them. Hate is taught.
Some people even bring their kids with them. So just catch the depravity of that. Catch the upside down aspect of that. Some people even bring their kids with them. What a horrible thing. Because they're teaching them how to hate. While she's escorting women the same day into the abortion clinic to pay the abortionists to kill the babies in their womb. And yet the way she sees it, because she's so given over, she's so debased at this point and thinks that she's doing good things. She's helping. She's supporting women. She's so convinced of that we're the haters. We're the dangerous ones. You need to vote as if your life depends on it, even though she's defending the murder of 800 to 1 million babies per year. Now, can she see it? Here's the other thing that happens when Christians are outside. If you saw Unplanned, you know this from, you might remember this from the movie, but Love Life has seen this where abortions on Wednesdays and Saturdays, where they've been out in front of these clinics, and then all the happy warriors that are out there, these sidewalk counselors, these preachers that are out there, just regularly, some of them multiple days a week, and you see the abortion, the turnaround rates and the abortion numbers come down. So one of the things that's disturbing to somebody like this young woman is the presence of God's people. Because when you're there, it's when the scripture talks about to those who are perishing, we are the aroma of death. What death are we the aroma of? We're the aroma of spiritual death. Because there's, just remember, I say this often, I hope you remember this, there's no such thing as an atheist. Atheists do not exist. Romans chapter 1, God's made it plain so that men are without excuse. Romans also talks about God has written the law in their hearts. Ecclesiastes talks about God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. There's not a single person in all of human history that doesn't know there's something rather than nothing, that there's some kind of a superintending moral force on top of it all, rather than nothing, rather than just animalistic, evolutionary, non-free will beings, flesh and blood. Everybody, God is the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And everybody knows he's there. And they know we're Christians. And when they see us praying and when they hear us singing praises to the Lord, it's just a reminder. It's a reminder of the divine. It's a reminder of that thing that they're trying to push out of their minds. Romans 1 talks about that as well. They replace the truth of God with a lie. They worship the created order instead of the creator. And they suppress the truth. Somebody on Facebook Live was like, I don't know how they sleep at night. That's how. Couple things. They suppress the truth. Their conscience gets seared. And because they're outside of the faith, to them, darkness is light and light is darkness. And you got to remember, whether we're talking about abortion, transgenderism, whatever, they can't allow for the imposition at any level of a moral standard. Because as soon as you say this is right and this is wrong, and it can, and you can tie it to a moral standard, a biblical standard, you've just acknowledged the standard exists, and you can't do that. That's why coming out of the gay marriage thing, when people started talking about, and even then people didn't, we said, oh, and it's going to be polygamy next. Nobody even saw the gender thing coming. Not back when the gay marriage fight started 20 years ago or so. But now the gender thing. You can't say that it's wrong to say to somebody, you have an innie or an outie. You are either a male or a female. Gender and sex are binary. It's the same thing. You can't make it up. You can't change it. It is what it is. And there's like a really tiny percentage of birds that are hermaphrodite and have a birth defect where they have some aspects from both genders, which is a birth defect and can be dealt with in most cases. But that's not what we're talking about. So as soon as you stand up against that, because you're standing for a standard, just like why Troy Newman and David DeLayden and those folks that published and put out the Sting Planned Parenthood videos to show that they are absolutely guilty of selling baby body parts, and it's no big deal to them. Romans 1, again, what does it look like to be turned over to a reprobate mind? That's what it looks like, and that's what it sounds like. That's what's going on there. And again, I struggle with it when I'm at the clinic. I look across that street, and part of me just there's hatred that wells up inside of me. Just hatred. And I got to remember, I need to hate what God hates. Troy said this. And love what God loves. And he hates hands that shed innocent blood. And so they go, well, God loves everybody. Be careful with that. Be careful theologically. He loves them enough to die for them, but you've got the God of wrath and judgment on the other side of the same coin. And God hates sin. He hates lying lips. He hates those that shed innocent blood. He hates them. But then he turns around, prays Jesus, and loves them enough on the other side of the coin to die for them and offer them salvation. So angry? Absolutely. Mad? Absolutely. But at those people? Part of me, yes. Part of me, no. And we need to show up and remind all of them. We need to show up and honor the babies, most of whom lose their lives on those Saturdays. And we saw God move Saturday. Why? Because God's people were out there, and we were praying, and we were engaged. So what are you doing for life in America, for the gospel in America? This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always said, and this is good advice for Troy Newman, ever forward.